You guys ready over there? Okay. Good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to the June 5th, 2018 regular Board of Trustees meeting for the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. It's nice to see you all here. I'm going to jump ahead. As a retiree, you'll love it. But anyway, the board met in closed session, and we discussed anticipated litigation as well as a conference with our labor negotiators regarding CSEA. Do we have a consensus on the order of business? Okay. All right. Let's move on then to approval of minutes for May 15th, 2018. Would someone like to make a motion on that, please? Motion by Mr. Buckman, second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to the approval of minutes for May
17th,
2018.
I'll
second Captain.
Okay, so the motion by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, a second by Mr. Millar. Any discussion? Road trip. Yep, it was a road trip. It was a great, but that, by the way, that was a trip where, a meeting where we toured the district properties so we can get some idea of what our surplus properties are in terms of revenues. So all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to item number 5.01, authorization for year-end transfers. That would be presented by Julie Lang. Mrs. Lang.
Okay, got it. Good evening. This is probably familiar to everybody. We do this every year. This is our resolution for the board to approve the transfers that we do during the summer to close the books. We need to make sure that all of our accounts are balanced, and we need to make those transfers to in order to close the books and report our unaudited actuals. And the board usually approves our transfers at all of the interim reports, but because we don't have another report until the books are actually closed, we need this resolution so that we can do that.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the board on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion?
I'll move approval of resolution 2117-18, authorization for year-end fund transfers.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Millar, and it looks like a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any discussion from the board? Seeing none, Mrs. Holmes?
Mr. Buckman?
Aye.
Mr. Quisenberry?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer? Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Aye.
Okay, the motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to item number 5.02. This is an item, resolution number 2217-18, addressing climate change. Dr. Prater?
Thank you, Mr. President. Not long ago, we created a new course at San Luis Obispo High School called Environmental Science, which is offered to students as an elective. Several students within this course also participate in an after-school club known as the Environment Club on campus. It is from these experiences that three students designed the climate change resolution before you tonight. In consultation with me, the concerned SLO High students, Adelie, Jordan, and Laura, worked hard at creating a resolution that establishes a framework where, in their words, San Luis Coastal can be a role model for other districts in our area to follow to make a cleaner, more sustainable world. Further, this resolution is a great step forward in creating a healthy future for generations to come. What I would like to do tonight, in honor of these brave and, I think, resolute students, I'd like to introduce them and have them read their resolution that they put together for you. This is Adelie Manning, Jordan Bauer, and Laura Galanos.
I'm Laura Galanos.
And I'm Jordan Bauer.
And we wrote the resolution before you today. As concerned students of the San Luis Coastal Unified School District, we all banded together to create change regarding the actions against climate change among our schools.
We believe schools have the potential to make positive, tangible environmental change in the world while teaching students to be stewards of their communities, the earth, and its resources.
In 2015, the California PTA adopted a climate change as a children's issue resolution that urges school districts to serve as role models for practices that promote energy conservation, alternative energy sources, reducing dependency on automobile travel, and encouraging sustainable practices.
Numerous other school districts have since adopted similar climate change resolutions, including Harmony, Sebastopol, San Diego, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle school districts. San Luis Coastal can be a role model for other districts in our area to follow to make a cleaner, more sustainable world.
We are proposing a similar climate change resolution for the San Luis Coastal School District. We feel strongly as young people that climate change will affect our future, and this resolution is a great step forward into a healthy future for generations to come.
We believe our future will be affected by climate change and have already seen some of the effects personally. I have been to Africa twice and seen the effects deforestation has affected the habitats of the endangered mountain gorillas.
Jordan and Laura got the opportunity to take environmental science at San Luis Obispo High School, where they were educated on the effects of climate change. However, due to the fact that there is only one class offered, many individuals, including myself, did not have the opportunity to take this class. This is why we think it is important to involve everyone in learning about these changes and taking action against them.
We have received overwhelming support from students at SLO High School and the community, and have a petition we've circulated in support for the resolution, which specifically ensures the continued use of sustainable building supplies, support of the city in promotion of safe biking and walking to school, pilot composting and recycling programs, sustainable lunch programs, school gardens, and the integration of climate change into next generation science programs.
We ask that you join as our partners in this effort to make a positive impact in our world and community. Thank you.
Dr. Prater, you're giving me some signs there.
Would you like the students to read the resolution?
Yes, I was hoping that we would actually be able to hear the resolution itself, and so that the public could hear it as well.
Whereas schools have the potential to make positive, tangible environmental change in the world while teaching students to be stewards of their community, the earth, and its resources.
And whereas the California PTA adopted a climate change as a children's issue resolution in 2015 that urges school districts to serve as role models for practices that promote energy conservation, alternative energy sources, reducing dependency on automobile travel, and encouraging sustainable practices.
Whereas many options and choices exist for schools and their staff to use natural resources more efficiently, to reduce, reuse, and recycle, to produce more sustainably sourced lunches, and to purchase clean energy and environmentally preferable products and supplies to protect our environment.
Whereas children represent a particularly vulnerable group because greenhouse gases emitted into the atmosphere will accumulate over the coming decades and will profoundly impact today's children throughout their lives as well as the lives of future generations.
Whereas the global impact, urgency, and magnitude of the challenge of addressing climate change call for leadership in all sectors of society, all institutions, and all elected leaders. And
whereas San Luis Coastal Unified School District may join other school districts in minimizing greenhouse gas emissions, demonstrating leadership, providing education and actionable solutions that students can engage in to address climate change, and working to ensure that all students graduate as knowledgeable and globally minded citizens.
Now, therefore, be resolved that San Luis Coastal Unified School District will engage in and support solutions to reduce the impacts of climate change for future generations.
Be it further resolved, the San Luis Coastal Unified School District will hereby support continued assurance that new buildings and modernization of existing buildings use environmentally sensitive building materials, as well as efficient use of energy, water, and other resources whenever possible.
Support collaboration efforts with cities and outside agencies to create safe routes for students to bike and walk to school.
Support piloting programs at the elementary, middle school, and high school level for recycling and composting programs, and encourage all schools within the district to participate.
Continued evaluation of sustainability improvement efforts for the school lunch program.
Endeavor to create and maintain school gardens as hands-on learning experiences that promote good nutrition and stewardship of the land.
Integration of studying climate change into next generation science standards and state adopted curriculum.
Thank you very much. So, why don't you have a seat in the front, and then I'm going to go to the public and ask for public comment on this item. So I believe we have two people that have asked if they could speak to this item, who have submitted yellow forms. And then
I'm not sure.
Actually, if we could do Dr. Hansen first.
Oh.
Because he needs to leave.
First is Stephen Hansen. You'll have 3 minutes in which to address the board. And our clock is over here.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and Board. I'm Dr. Steve Hansen. I'm from the Central Coast Medical Association, and we're here to congratulate all involved in this. Such a terrible situation the world finds itself in, with one of the most powerful country opposing virtually all the sensible efforts on climate change. So all these things are great, but young people need to know that they have to be aware of political activities too. The climate of doubt and denial and disinformation that goes on is fostered by the fossil fuel companies, and they pay off elected people to minimize and undo important environmental things. In the Reagan administration, we were troubled with the ozone in the environment. They enacted the Montreal Protocol, which served as an insurance policy, and it really made a big difference. This is harder, but we can have a green future, and we must do it. CO2 is a stable molecule. It's in the troposphere for hundreds of years. It's only getting worse very rapidly, and we have to take it seriously. We must not allow deniers to say anything else could cause it. It's just as clear as it can be. Every National Academy of Science in the world has endorsed this, at places that have National Academies, and every peer-reviewed scientific organization that looks at this has endorsed the concept of man-made climate change here. So we have to get we're all hypocrites. We all do things that are anti-environmental here, but we must do this. I want to say that just this year, from the health standpoint, the medical societies nationwide have joined in the consortium of medical societies for climate change and health, and that's more than half the docs. Our local medical society featured their last bulletin all about climate change. The biggest hospital here chose a climate change topic for their annual symposium. We have your back, kids. Hang in there. Do it. You've got to be politically active and call out the bad guys here.
Thank you.
Thank you. And just a reminder, and I'll go through the complete list of things, but we do strictly enforce a 3-minute comment period.
Marika Van Buren.
Hello, I'm speaking to you today on behalf of the Mayor of San Luis Obispo, Heidi Harmon. She would like to thank the board for their consideration in adopting the climate change resolution drafted by the students at San Luis Obispo High School. We would like to commend the students for creating the resolution regarding climate change. This is an important issue for the future of our city and our community as a whole. It is amazing that these students recognize the impact they have on our environment and are taking steps to make a difference. In addition, the mayor would like to suggest that there be a press release in order to make the public aware of both the students' efforts and the board's support of the climate change resolution. This is a community issue. It will benefit the community to know that our schools are inclined to make changes toward the greater good. Climate action is one of the city's major goals. We will do everything we can to partner with the district to bring this resolution to life. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, students.
And next, our next speaker is Quinn Brady.
Good evening. I'm really excited about the initiative these students have taken, but I'm actually here tonight speaking on behalf of Rosemary Wren, who is the chair of the San Luis Obispo County Democratic Party. She couldn't be here tonight because it is election day, but I have a note from her to read to you. Dear Board of Directors, I urge you to support Resolution 22-17-18 on the school district's impact on climate change. These young people have made a commitment to the future of our community by stepping up on many issues affecting not only their generation, but those before and after them. As students, they have taken the initiative to be stewards of the environment, creating a more sustainable society for the residents of this community, this country, and this planet. By adopting this resolution, you not only empower them by honoring their work, but also bring the school district into leading positive change in the paradigm for how school districts do business everywhere. Our young people deserve to be listened to and to have the support of leaders just like you. These students have stepped up to lead. Please stand with them in this resolution. Sincerely, Rosemary Wren, Chair of the County Democratic Party. Thank you.
So, as I explained, we will have public comment later. Is there anyone else that would like to address the board on this issue? Okay, seeing nobody, I'm going to bring it back to the board for board discussion. Is there any comments from the board, or would someone like to make a motion? Mr. Buckman.
Thank you. I just want to say how hopeful this makes me for the future and the future of this planet. You guys have worked really hard on this, I know, and I think it's great, and I'm really excited that you're already working on this while you're still in school, and that just puts us light years ahead of where we could be. So I'd like to move approval of Resolution 22-17-18.
Yeah, I will be proud to second that.
So we have a motion by Mr. Buckman, a second by Mrs. Roger. Mrs. Roger, do you have any other comments?
Well, I'm delighted that you put your thought and energy into this. This is something that my husband works on nonstop, so it's an issue that's very close to my family, and I'm proud to second this resolution.
Great. Is there anybody else from the board who has a comment? Seeing none, Mrs. Campbell, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Millar, Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, Mrs. Roger. Mr. Unger, Mrs. Sheffer, Mr. Quesenberry, Mr. Buckman.
Great. Congratulations. The resolution carries 7-0. Thank you. Let's move on to item number 5.03. This would be resolution 23-17-18 and 24-17-18. CSBA Freshman Legislator of the Year nominations for Jordan Cunningham and CSBA Legislator of the Year for Senator William Monning. Dr. Prater.
Yes, I really appreciate the board weighing in on these two resolutions to support and acknowledge our legislators that represent us in our county, in our region, and have done so quite well. I'd like to begin with our Freshman Legislator of the Year nomination, Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham. Assemblyman Cunningham has supported public education through his advocacy locally and in Sacramento. He co-sponsored SB 1090 in an effort to provide critical resources to San Luis Coastal, the Coalition of Cities, and SLO County as we prepare for the closure of the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant. He has been accessible and willing to discuss these issues, and among others, and support us along the way, regardless of the political consequences. Assemblyman Cunningham has personally spent time with me in his office where the clock didn't seem to be running. He just said, whatever you need, however much time you need, so that I can better understand these issues. And I just really appreciate that about him. So accepting, or at least here tonight, on behalf of Assemblyman Cunningham, is his field rep and a former San Luis High graduate and a recent graduate from Westmont University in Santa Barbara. And that's our own Benjamin Peterson. Benjamin? And would you like to break these out into two parts?
Yeah, I believe we need to do that. They're two separate resolutions. Okay. First of all, I'd like to go to the public and see if there's anyone from the public that would like to address the board on this item. And while we're at it, Dr. Prater, perhaps you could just, since we've got so many people here who have an interest in this, if you could just touch on what SB 1090 does and why it's so important, and perhaps ways that anybody here in the audience or anybody watching this can make their feelings known to the assembly at this point.
Oh, wow. I appreciate that opportunity, President Unger. SB Senate Bill 1090 is our legislators' effort to bring back the SIMP agreement, the agreement that we negotiated with PG&E, the Coalition of Cities, and San Luis Obispo, the County of San Luis Obispo, to bring forward to the California Public Utilities Commission. And this was a negotiated agreement that would provide San Luis Coastal in particular. There were some other things for the other groups, but San Luis Coastal negotiated resources that would allow us to successfully transition away from the loss of the eventual property tax revenue upon the closure of the plant. So what many people don't realize is that starting 2 years ago when they made the announcement, the asset, the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant itself, they have been depreciating the asset. So what that means is we receive fewer and fewer tax dollars from the plant and the production of the energy that comes from it. As many of us know by now, or should know, the California Public Utilities Commission rejected the agreement. They call it the SIMP agreement. They rejected it, and as a result, we circled back to our representatives, Assemblyman Cunningham, Senator Bill Monning, and we asked them to support us through the legislative process to provide those same exact resources. So for San Luis Coastal, it's a total of $36 million, guaranteed dollars. $26 million towards offsetting the loss of that revenue between now and 2024, 2025. In addition, $10 million would be dedicated to an education foundation. That education foundation would use that $10 million to protect the programs that we might lose that currently are in place to support our most needy and at-risk students. So it's a very important bill that's before the assembly right now. It has passed through the Senate 31 votes to 4 in favor of this bill. If it makes it through the assembly, it then has one more hurdle to the governor's office. If the governor supports this, if the assembly passes it through and the governor chooses not to veto that bill, then it will then go, it will in effect direct the Public Utilities Commission to then accept the conditions of the SIMP agreement, which benefits the Coalition of Cities, the County of San Luis Obispo, the employees that currently work for the Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant, and our school district. That's Senate Bill 1090.
Great. And knowing that it's going in front of, I believe, an assembly committee on the 20th, is there anything people can do to indicate their support for this and the support for the children of our community?
Yes. We have a letter-writing campaign occurring, and we'll have information, a press release going out this week. So any help we can get from the community to write our assemblymen and our senators, in particular Assemblyman Cunningham, Senator Monning, and present letters to them. We have a letter-writing campaign and templates for that letter on our website, and we'll continue to push that out as soon as possible would be most appreciated.
Thanks. So I just want to make sure that the public has an opportunity to comment on 23-17-18, which is the resolution nominating Assemblyman Cunningham for the CSBA Freshman Legislator of the Year. Okay, seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion on that?
I'll be happy to, but I wanted to make a comment. I communicated to Mr. Cunningham a few months ago when he voted no on mandatory school start time. I think in addition to his help on the Diablo Canyon plan, he is an intelligent vote for school-related issues, and I appreciate it. So I would move approval of, where is it? Resolution number 23-17-18.
I'd like to second that.
So we have a motion by Mr. Millar and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Is there any discussion from the board? Seeing none, I'll bring it back.
Mr. Millar, Mrs. Eisendrath Rogers, Mrs. Roger, Mr. Unger,
yes.
Mrs. Sheffer, Mr. Quesenberry,
yes.
Mr. Buckman.
Yes.
Buckman.
Motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to item to resolution 24. I'm sorry. Did you want to make a comment or anything? Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. Let's move on to resolution 24-17-18, and that's nominating Senator William Monning as the CSBA Legislator of the Year.
Senator Monning has been a strong advocate for public education in California. Throughout his career, he has built a reputation of honesty and respect among his colleagues in Sacramento and in the regions that he represents. His willingness to sponsor SB 1090 on our behalf speaks to his deep understanding of the fiscal impact on our school district and the region. He is terming out as a state senator. He doesn't need to do this, but he's doing it because it's the right thing for us. And I believe he's deserving of this nomination.
Thanks. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back for a motion. It looks like Mr. Quisenberry.
Yes, I move the adoption of resolution 24-17-18.
I'll second that, please.
We have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry and a second by Mr. Buckman. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to Mrs. Campbell.
Mr. Buckman, Mr. Quisenberry, Mrs. Sheffer, Mr. Unger, Mrs. Roger, Mrs. Eisendrath Rogers, Mr. Millar.
The motion carries 7-0. Thank you very much. And again, if you would just really relate to Assemblyman Cunningham, how much we appreciate his work. And Dr. Prater, if you could also let Senator Monning know how much we appreciate his work and the efforts that you guys have done to really make sure that our community and our children are protected. Let's move on to item number 6.01, student representatives to the board. Rateek.
So before Rateek begins, this is his last evening with us. But before I speak on Rateek's behalf, I would like to speak a little bit about Zoe Ashworth. And she is not here tonight because of senior events that are going on at Morro Bay. But I do want to share some words, kind words about her. And so you know, we We provided a parting gift for Zoe and Rutik, and I will hand Zoe's gift to Zoe on Thursday at the commencement ceremony as she walks by me. And on your table are two cards, one for Rutik and one for Zoe. If you wouldn't mind passing that around tonight and putting your own nice little comment, because I know how much you care for our student reps. So on behalf of Zoe, I would like to say this. Zoe did a fantastic job representing the student voices and school culture as its student representative this year at Morro Bay High. I was impressed with her self-reflections, enthusiasm, and moral compass. Though she is not present tonight due to the end-of-the-year senior commitments, I wanted to share my appreciation for Zoe and wish her the very best in her future at Sonoma State University. And I know the board, I can speak on your behalf, that she is just a special person and did a great job for us representing her school. So now I'd like to talk about Rutik. And Rutik continues a long line of ambitious and socially conscious student representatives to the board from San Luis Obispo High School. Rutik has been relentless in sharing the voice of his peers, advocating for needed changes, and providing good doses of humor along the way. As he travels south to UCLA next fall, or maybe Harvard, you never know. Hey, it's California's victory, Rutik. Well done. Rutik leaves behind a legacy, and I mean a legacy, of thoughtfulness, dedication to inclusivity, which I know he strove at the beginning of the year to set forth, and trying to bring people together for positive change. Rutik, thank you for all that you've done for your student peers at San Luis High, for our district, and you've represented us so well. Congratulations.
Okay, Rutik, you're on.
All right, so, hi everyone, good evening. Last week, and this week is pretty hectic for seniors and everyone else as well, but last week we had a unified basketball game for our special education department, and it was all of our special ed students who were part of the basketball team. They went up to the Taylor Gym at 12 o'clock and they played a basketball game against another team. And many of our ASB students went up there in jerseys and rooted them on. It was part of the Special Olympics that was held last month, and they continued it on playing another school. But that was just an opportunity for us and as an ASB to once again, to once again like form that relationship with the special education department and for students in general to be aware of how to create relationships with everyone on campus. So that was a special thing to do. And we also had a carnival day and blood drive last week, which the freshman class planned the carnival day. And you guys may have heard about the pickle day a couple of months ago in first trimester. And our leadership class, I just want to touch on them really quick. They've developed as leaders incredibly throughout this trimester. I talked about them at the beginning about how they're mostly freshmen. And Mr. Johnson asked, who wants to be in this classroom? One person raised their hand. And Mr. O'Connor came in last week on Friday and asked them how they had grown as leaders and if the class was worth doing next year. And every single one of them gave a thoughtful answer about how they had developed and why it was beneficial for every student or many students to take the class and how they can develop their characters as well. So it's been very awesome seeing them develop as leaders, and I hope they continue to do ASB and leadership in their coming years. Regarding the blood drive, we had over 40 units of blood donated. Unfortunately, because of weight requirements and iron requirements, we had to turn a lot of our students away. I'm not sure how that works specifically, but I donated blood. I found out I was B positive. That was pretty cool. I didn't pass out. I thought I was going to pass out. Didn't do that. Also, last week on Friday, we had our Student of the Month barbecue, our last one of the year, where we had another open mic to go along with it. Now, we've talked about open mics a lot, and it's our chance for us to incorporate a lot of our student performers. This time we had Lauren Hatcher and Elena Cota perform with Mr. Ritchie, one of our science teachers on campus. We had Bella Zuniga with Colin Spears, who DJ'd while she was singing, which was really cool. We had names are slipping my mind. Joella Holmes performed as well, and just a bunch of performers. And then we ended it off with a lip sync battle. Now you may know that we didn't have 24-hour relay this year, which is where we have an annual lip sync battle between the sitting and future president. So I won against my sister this year. I am glad to report that I won overwhelmingly. If you guys want to see a video, you should email me. It's actually pretty cool. but that's what went on last week. Now this week for seniors is very emotional. Today was our last day at school. We had our paper toss at 3:10, and it's only going to get more emotional from here. We have our senior picnic tomorrow. We have senior showcase on Thursday night, which I encourage all of the board members to attend. I understand, once again, the Brown Act kind of makes things difficult, but I have fake mustaches in my car just in case you guys want to all come. And then commencement on Friday, where I'm sure most of you will be coming. But it's wrapping down, but also ramping up for seniors. I don't think I'm going to get any sleep this next past week just with everything going on. So I wrote down some words in my car just sitting because I knew I wouldn't be able to say it without breaking out. So just really quick. Having the position I did this year was truly a blessing. I was able to meet new people and create relationships that I never would have imagined having. By coming to these meetings, I was able to not only show the school board how amazing the school I've attended for 4 years is, but voice the concerns of by the student body who without it may not have not had a medium to do so. And for that, I am grateful. The students at SLC-USD are privileged to attend schools in a school district whose board continues to keep the students' best interests in mind and do as much as they can do to ensure that our education and safety is protected. I've been able to be a part of that process to some extent through the Superintendent Senate and the people I've gotten to know through these meetings. Thank you for allowing students to have a direct voice to those who can directly change the way things are ran. I can now finally pass on the reins to an individual who I know will do an excellent job filling my shoes in a less annoying way. It has been an incredible year. Thank you.
And who's taking your place?
My sister.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. The Bruins are definitely going to get a great student, and we look forward to hearing about you and how things go in the future.
President,
all right. Yes.
I just want to say that I was so pleased to be watching television, and there was Ritik encouraging us all to get out and vote. And I do want to commend you for your involvement in not only your school community, but the larger community of San Luis Obispo. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, now let's move on to item 6.02, retirees. Mrs. Newland.
Okay, the moment we've all been waiting for, at least the people behind me probably. So tonight we are here to celebrate 51 incredible people who have all contributed to making our district a special place. Between them, they have, believe it or not, 1,155 years of service. Congratulations to all our retirees who are here tonight, and to you I say in the future, may every day be Bosses Day and every day Employee Appreciation Day. You're about to find out what it's like to return from work and say, "Hi, honey, I'm home forever." As A.A. Milne wrote in Winnie the Pooh's little instruction book, don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. Or as Dr. Seuss said, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. So retirees, tonight we celebrate the new life ahead of you. And I ask that all of our retirees in the audience please stand. So at this time, I'd like to ask our retirees to please head to the back corner of the room where the books are, where Tracy Moreno is, so we can get ready to honor you. So I'm going to have see Tracy back there. And while our retirees are lining up over there with Tracy, I would like to take the opportunity to thank Sharon Haupt, our district librarian, who has helped choose books for each of our retirees and will place them in the libraries throughout our district. The books are on display in the back of the room. Please take a look at them. It's extra special this year. As you will see in our slideshow, Sharon is one of our retirees. Jennifer O'Hagan has been kind enough to put together a slideshow of these fantastic retirees and the life that lies ahead. So we'd like to give you a glimpse of that now. So that's 1,155 years of service right there. So at this time, I'd like to call our board and superintendent to the front so we can honor these fantastic retirees. And retirees, when I call your name, if you wouldn't mind coming over this direction, and then walk the gauntlet of our school board and superintendent. So first we have Jill Banfield, Pacheco, 18 years. Rob Banfield, Pacheco, 31 years. Chris Becker, Hawthorne, 23 years. Marie Bombolo, San Luis High, 19 years. Cindy Chalupka, ISNT, 21 years. Mary Dornish, San Luis Obispo High School, 14 years. Nancy Evans, Morro Bay High School, 10 years. Cindy Fear, Los Ranchos, 19 years. Sandy French, Food Service, 19 years. Pamela Garcia, Morro Bay High School, 16 years. Kim Holmes, Superintendent's Office, 31 years. Judy Iacovelli Smith, 13 years. Laura Kirshner, Hawthorne, 24 years. Janet Lopez, Sinsheimer, and can you believe 38 years. Deborah Magipinto, Morro Bay High School, 12 years. Mark Nakamura, Sinsheimer, 32 years. Ginny Ortiz, Los Ranchos, 30 years. Charles Pearson, Lambs, 32 years. Pam Richardson, Los Ranchos, 10 years. Amy Shields, Isla, 22 years. Kevin Sullivan, BG&T, 28 years. And last but not least, Pamela Jones Smith, 9 years. Okay, can we have a big hand for all of our retirees? We are going to have some cake in the back of the room. 15 minutes.
Item 7.01. However, we did receive a letter from, I believe it's pronounced Maria Chisholm, regarding the use of Roundup at the school site. We'll move on to item 7.02, public comment. Let me just review the guidelines really quickly. So if you'd like to speak to the board, you can do that. Please stand and come on up, say your name, and if you're with a group, please let us know so that we can understand that we'll know who you're representing. The presentation should be brief. We allow 3 minutes worth of public comment per topic, or per person, actually, I should say, to a maximum of 20 minutes. If you have materials, you can give them to Mrs. Campbell, who will distribute them to us. We also have a district-supplied document camera that you can actually project things up on the screen if you'd like to, but that will not extend your time for the 3 minutes. You can ask questions of us. I will either answer them, Dr. Prater may answer them, or we would refer them to staff members. So just that. We won't take any action on an item introduced during public comment. That would be an illegal act since it would not be noticed under the Brown Act. And finally, a speaker may offer criticism of school operations and programs that may concern them, but in public session, the board will not hear personal complaints of school personnel or complaints against any employee of the system. Other channels provide for board consideration and disposition of complaints involving individuals. So we do have one person who has expressed a desire to speak at this time.
Maria Chisholm, and the topic is the Roundup use on campuses. And if Mrs. Campbell would start the clock.
3 minute clock, please.
Go ahead. Hi.
First, I wanted to thank you guys for your time and dedication to our community's children. I'm just here because I'm wanting to request that you please consider banning the use of Roundup and other toxic herbicides on our school campuses. I'm hoping that we can take a step forward like many other districts in California. I've spoken with directors of maintenance in several Humboldt County and Sonoma County school districts. These non-basic aid school districts did not change their maintenance budget when their boards voted to ban herbicide use on their campuses. And to me, it seems like if they can manage weeds in a rainy climate, that on the arid central coast, it should be something we can figure out. I spoke with Rob Corley of the California Department of Education, and he's very happy to speak with you. He said that school districts are one by one deciding that it's just not worth the risk to continue using these chemicals around children. He sent me a flyer and a link, which I've forwarded you, for an upcoming workshop about using steam pressure washers for weed control. He's off the top of his head, he mentioned that the Atascadero School District is looking into the elimination of herbicide use on campuses. I'm requesting that the school board agendizes a presentation and discussion for the fall. I have talked to enough people to know that herbicide use on campus is a legitimate concern of many parents. This agenda item should examine our district's current use of Roundup and how other districts have approached the transition to eliminating its use. It is my hope that by this time next year, adjustments have been made to our current policy. My question for you is our district going to wait until we're forced to change our landscape management approach, or are we going to be proactive about protecting the health of our children and the health of my daughter's school mascot, the monarch butterfly? Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else who would like to address the board in public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number 8.01, business and budget update. Mr. Pinkerton.
Yes, Julie noted, we are beginning the process of closing the books for the fiscal year here in June. Our auditors were here last week to kind of finalize, all of our, basically go through everything, and it seems like we were able to answer all their questions and seem, that we have a good clean audit again coming forward for the board, which is a positive thing.
Okay. Well, that was quick. Let's move. Educational services update, Mrs. McGrath.
Thank you. I was interested in keeping it short for you as well, in the interest of celebrating our retirees. So this is our final week of school this week, and as you heard from Ruteek, there's a lot of opportunities for celebration of our students and for graduation opportunities and for teachers to finish out and kind of wrap up things with kids and parents. So great final week, and we look forward to celebrating our students and seeing everyone at graduation ceremonies.
Okay, 8.03, back to you, Mr. Pinkerton.
Yeah, so Measure D, a lot of big projects happening over the course of this summer, in particular infrastructure work at both Morro Bay High School and San Luis Obispo High School, things that you don't necessarily, see above the ground, but really make a difference in terms of the school site. So kudos to Chris Bonin and our project management staff, Mr. Holcomb, working with our contractors to get us to where we need to be. So we have some critical timeline components, I would say. So one would be Bellevue Santa Fe School, where there's a complete classroom renovation at that campus, which we're excited about. We're going to begin the process of the new multipurpose room, should the board approve the agenda items tonight at Bishop's Peak. We also have really some key things right here at San Luis Obispo High School. So the front of that campus, where the new Student Support Center, Performing Arts space is going, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be put in place throughout that campus, and so that we can get that student access pathway back to the front of the campus. So those are just a lot of things that will be very busy over the course of the summer. And then lastly, we do have our last CBOC meeting of the year, so we'll be meeting with the Citizens Bond Oversight Committee on Monday at Morro Bay High to kind of look at all the projects and look at the kind of year wrap-up in terms of our finances.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
May I ask a question?
Of course.
There used to be a sign that was positioned right by the
new old gym,
mm-hmm.
And it showed what we're building,
yeah.
And now it's gone. I think it's still there. I think it's, like, laying face down over there. I was wondering if it might be a great idea for it to be up where people are going to be able to park in the limited amount of parking.
It's actually time for new signs.
Big
so it's time for new signs.
Ah, yes.
So we're going to be looking at doing new signs. We finally have a much better phasing plan laid out in terms of what projects are happening when. So our hope is to kind of – we've gotten – it's nice to put the pictures up early on like we did, but then people expect it to be that particular picture. So we ran into a few issues with that. So we are looking at a couple of new signs both at Morro Bay High School as well as San Luis Obispo High School with kind of, hey, here's the next 4 or 5 years – Of the phasing aspect. So those will be coming up here in the fall.
Okay, thank you.
Into summer.
And Bishop's Peak as well, I take it.
Yeah, Bishop's Peak's a different one, and we'll just have the one main, you know, kind of the, like we did at C.L. Smith,
right.
That has just the main picture with those, the two office renovation as well as multi-purpose room.
Okay.
Okay?
Item 9.01, adoption of the local control accountability plan. This is the second reading. Mrs. McGrath?
Thank you. Tonight I have before you the second reading of our local control accountability plan. As you'll remember from the first reading, we went over the five different elements that you will find within that plan, our five different focus areas. We did extensive outreach, really, to all of our stakeholders in order to gather input around the focus areas as well as the goals and the action steps. And I know that you saw that reflected within the plan during your first reading. So tonight in the second reading, we are looking for your approval of the local control accountability plan so that we may begin to move forward with the action steps to meet the needs of our students.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the board on this item? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board. Any questions? And I was going to say, Dr. Prater, I know that there's a requirement that any comments or questions be referred to you for a response. Have you received any?
Not a single one.
Okay, great. So I feel like we're really on the right track, and we will continue to grow and really move forward. Would someone like to make a motion on this? I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't see her.
That's okay. I don't know whether I just did want to make a quick comment. So I'm just so happy with what the district has done for community outreach, and as the general public continues to become more and more aware of this, I just urge them to get involved because this is a great opportunity to be involved in their local school district. Ellen, were you going to make the motion, or did you have a comment?
No, I just.
Okay, so then I'd like to make the motion to approve the local control accountability plan second reading. The plan, not the second read.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Buckman and a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Is there any comments from the board? Seeing none, I'll bring it back for a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to items 9.02, adopt the 2018-19 budget. And I believe that is...
Right up there.
Mr. Pinkerton, that guy up there. Okay, yeah, let's move.
So what goes right along with programs and what we need to do for kids is the budget, right? And so, you know, for the board's sake, we've been having this conversation about how important the budget is for many, many years. When the retirement PERPA law was put in place, and a lot of that cost of STRS and PERS was put onto the school district at that point, it really made us have to kind of put together this long-term projection. After that, the potential closure of Diablo Canyon happened. I think we've done a good job. The board has done a good job of getting ahead of the issue. So, you know, this loss of $7.6 million of unitary tax through the reductions we made 2 years ago, mainly at the district office. And now at the, you know, this year we're looking at making some reductions. You know, kind of personnel driven, but no layoffs, nothing that the board has had to, you know, do anything where people are going to lose their jobs over the course of this year. So I'm hopeful that that's going to get us another $1 million towards that. Right now, long term, you know, the economy's been great. And so we have really done well due to the one-time funds that we've received over the past few years. So we've almost received a mitigation payment, even though we didn't receive the SIMP, to help us through that process. Now, all of that said, we're still on the path where we're probably looking at a, you know, long-term right now, about $3 million that we still have remaining to cut. And that's kind of painful territory, I would say. So depending on what happens with the economy over the next few years, my expectation, everything that people are talking about is that we're going to hit some type of a recession, which will mean that those one-time funds that have been helping us over the course of the years are going to dry up a little bit. We do have a good reserve that the board has put forward, the 10%, which we focused on, which will help some. But we still need to make sure that however it ends up, that we balance our budget. So for next year, we're presenting you with a balanced budget tonight. My hope is that by the time we do our personnel and we put everything in place, that it looks even better than it does now. You saw the retirees tonight. You know, that all helps in terms of our personnel costs. So we'll see when that all gets kind of put together and we see where our property tax revenues are in the fall. So again, all the things that we talked about in terms of cuts and the Blue Ribbon Committee, those are all things that we'll only do hopefully when we have to, right? And that each year we would have to reexamine kind of where we're at and make the steps that we need to make sure that we have a balanced budget. I feel like the Blue Ribbon Committee presentations were great this year. We didn't get as many people as we would have liked, especially initially on, but I think the word starts to spread. 176 people have watched my presentation on YouTube now, so that's good. We checked this morning, Mandy saw, so it's good. Those are good things. And I think for me what that shows is that's an avenue that maybe with LCAP and with other things that we can use more of, that we can try to get information out to people who maybe can't come to meetings. So, Julie Lang and her staff have done a great job of putting this all together and really helping to keep us on track in terms of our budget. So it's critically important. Chris Hunger shared a great article today about LA Unified. And we're right now with this new influx of LCAP money and LCFF funds and supplementary one-time. Everyone thinks that everything's great. But that one-time money, especially in a district like that, can dry up really, really fast. So it's important that we continue to keep that vision kind of on the next few years and make sure that we balance our budget. So that said.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address us on this item? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Would someone like to make a motion? Mr. Millar.
Well, first, to the untrained observer and to possibly the audience at home, it looks like we do this budget thing pretty fast sometimes, particularly if you just happen to tune in tonight. But we've been talking about this budget for weeks, and our staff spends a lot of time on it. The board spends a lot of time on it. That having said that, I would move adoption of the 2018-2019 budget.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Millar and
a second
by Mr. Quisenberry. And I would just add that that the LCAP, which we just approved to the public, the LCAP, which we just approved, and the budget need to be aligned. And that's the legal requirement, and I believe that we've done that, and I'm excited about this. And again, the path we have moving forward. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Item 9.03, Education Protection Act Funds. Mrs. Lang?
Hi again. This is a discussion item to go over the EPA funds that we receive. As part of Prop 30, which was passed in 2012 and then renewed as part of Prop 55 in 2016, school districts receive additional revenues derived from an incremental sales tax increase. San Luis Coastal receives approximately $1.4 million. We use that money to offset salary and benefits for Los Osos Middle School teacher and teacher salary and benefits. The funds have to be used for instructional purposes, cannot be used on administrative costs. And the reason we chose Los Osos Middle School is at the time we received these funds, the salary and benefits at Los Osos Middle School was very closely aligned to the amount, and we thought, let's keep it simple and just do it all at one site. And these are unrestricted funds. If they ever go away, which right now they're slated not to go away until 2030 at least, we would just backfill those teacher salary and benefits with general fund dollars. It's not like they would lose anything.
Well, this is a discussion item, so I will go to the public. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address us? And seeing none, is there any discussion from the board? Okay, let's go to item 9.04, approve new position, Executive Director, San Luis Coastal Education Foundation, Dr. Prater.
Yeah, that doesn't help. In December 2017, the Blue Ribbon Committee shared its findings and recommendations to the superintendent and the Board of Education regarding the impact of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant closure in 2024-2025. Within this report, the Blue Ribbon Committee made strong recommendations to couple cost containment strategies with enhanced revenue strategies. We have done that. Part of the enhanced revenue formula is the creation of an education foundation dedicated to raising money for our students, especially our most vulnerable student populations. We have spent the past year developing the necessary legal and required components to form the San Luis Coastal Education Foundation. The steering committee, under the leadership of Kimberly McGrath, continues to identify the inaugural board members of this foundation, and I have to say we're really excited about its membership to date. Before you tonight, I am requesting approval of an executive director position serving the San Luis Coastal Education Foundation beginning in the 2018-2019 school year. In short, this position is all about raising money and awareness for educational programs and services that directly benefit students in our district. The intent of this position is to limit its impact on the general fund as soon as possible through the successful accumulation of public and private grants, private donations, and the participation of key donors in our community and across our region. We need this position to jumpstart our newly formed foundation and to put the necessary leadership in place to generate substantial sums of revenue. The salary range that I anticipate is between $105,000 and $130,000 annually, plus benefits. This is comparable to similar districts in California who have established high-functioning foundations. We expect to review this position on an annual basis. The executive director position will report directly to the superintendent. The job description and the salary range is currently before the Personnel Commission for its second reading and final approval. I met with them last week and had a wonderful meeting with them discussing these things. We expect its approval prior to July 1st, 2018. We would like to post this position beginning next month and over the summer and have that person in place prior to the start of the 2018-2019 school year. I would be open to any questions you might have.
Any questions from board members? Is there any...
I just want to comment.
Sure, absolutely. Let's go to see if there's anybody from the public first. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address this? And seeing no one, Dr. Eisendrath Rogers.
I would just like to say, as the board rep to the foundation, that the opportunity to have this foundation is a game changer for the district, and so I know that we're all very much in support of that. And it's just important for us to keep in mind and let the public know that it's a self-perpetuating opportunity, because the whatever we're hiring this person, whatever we end up paying the person to do this job, it will be replenished many times over in the kind of amount of money we're able to generate through grants and through fundraising in the community. So I feel very comfortable with bringing this to the board, and think that we could do amazing things for our kids.
Would you like to make a motion?
I would, but I see Mark reaching for it. Okay.
Go ahead, Mark. So this maybe a little off topic, but I was really proud yesterday. I went down to Cesslock, and I thought I'd make a donation to the foundation. I found out I was the first one to donate, and therefore my donation actually opened the account. So I just want to say it's now open, and I really urge everybody to, whatever they can do, to do it. It's going to be a great, great thing for the kids.
Thank you.
Then I will move to approve item number 9.04, the executive director for the San Luis Coastal Education Foundation.
And I'll second.
We have a motion by Dr. Eisengrath Rogers and a second by Mrs. Rogers. Any further board discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Item 9.05, approve dual enrollment courses. Mrs. McGrath?
Thank you. This is the second reading as well of our dual enrollment courses. I presented the presentation last time about courses that high school students are able to take while sitting in their high school seats and yet receiving high school credit as well as credit from community college. So it's a great opportunity for our students. It also provides great collaboration time for our teachers as well to collaborate with their partner teachers at Cuesta. Typically, this might be kind of more of a consent agenda type of item, but Cuesta does ask that it is here and seeks your approval tonight.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the board? Seeing none, Mr. Quisenberry.
Yeah, I just have a question. As I look down the list of courses and the number of high school students that may be enrolled, the number of full-time employees, the FTEs, seems quite large relative to the number of students. So you have a ag course, total number of students 70, and total estimate FTEs are 7.2. Do you?
Can you show me on there, Luana?
That's yeah. And I didn't know if that was an error. It's on the MOU, yeah. So if you look up there, you'll see, for example,
right, I see what you're saying. Yes, what I believe that is the number of teachers that have the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Of teaching.
All right, great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would someone like to make a motion?
I move acceptance of this agreement, this, especially the MOU between San Luis Coastal and the Cuesta College.
And I'll go ahead and second that. So we have a motion by Mr. Quisenberry and a second by myself. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Let's move on to the first reading. This is item 9.06, first reading, gifts, grants, and bequests to our board policies.
Yes, thank you. Tonight we have the first reading of Board Policy 3290. This is gifts, grants, and requests. What you will find is in the red are the suggestions from Gamut and CSBA, as well as the purple additions you'll find as adjustments from your board subcommittee. You'll notice at the top that it does provide a little more clarification. The second paragraph down did change there from feels, which the subcommittee felt was kind of soft terminology there, to determines. Notice that the next section that's added there from Gamut is primarily about what the board shall not be able to accept. So notice that wording. Number five, you can notice the wording was changed there. It looked like it had a kind of an example of supporting AP students, and we felt like that's just one tiny little example, and the point was to create equitable programs. So clarification was added there. And then I want to add a note in the back that there was a lot of information that just felt way too specific, and the subcommittee has suggested that be reviewed for consideration into ARs. So it is the first reading. Up to you how to handle it.
Right. Is there an interest in bringing this back for a second reading?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So we'll bring this back for a second reading at the next meeting. How about number 9.07, head lice first reading?
Yes, a little change of pace there from gifts to headlights. It's a different kind of gift. Keeps on giving, yes. So this one is straight out of gamut, the suggestions there. You'll see that the purple note, the subcommittee suggested that the language be strengthened a little from may to shall and kind of create more consistency in language at the bottom where its privacy is considered more confidentiality. This is a change in procedure and recommendation that was reviewed by our nurses, and our nurses are actually excited and anxious for this change to be added and to see this board policy shift. And the back was also amended just based on it being repetitive. It was a lot of the same information that was clarified and much more clearly worded in the beginning. So again, this is first reading, and I would also say that since at this time of the year, probably completely fine to be a second reading. If it was maybe in the middle of the year, I might have asked that we move along with it for the nurses' sake, but at this time of the year, being the last week of school, up to you for first or second reading.
Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. When I read through this board policy, I was disturbed by the statement, when it is determined that one or more students in a class or school are infested with head lice, the principal or designee may, at his or her discretion, notify parents or guardians of students in that class or school and provide them with information about the detection and treatment of head lice. In my opinion, I don't think that should be discretionary. I think if you have students in a class with head lice, then as far as I'm concerned, you need to let the parents know without identifying the children. Obviously, you don't want to. It's not about shaming, but it's about other parents in the class checking their own children, having discussions with them about not sharing hats, not sharing, because kids all do that, don't wear somebody else's sweatshirt with a hood. You know, I think it's important that the parents get the information. So I'm not in favor of the terminology in that paragraph.
Any other comments? I guess I'm going to query the board and see how the board feels about Mrs. Rogers' suggestion, because we would bring that back potentially as a change at the next meeting. Does anybody have any comments about that?
So, Mrs. Roger, would you tell us how you would change that? What word would you change?
When it is determined that one or more students in a class or school are infested with head lice, the principal or designee shall. And we'll eliminate the discretionary aspect of it, notify parents and guardians of students in that class or school, and provide them with information about the detection and treatment of head lice.
Thank you. I would support that change.
So one thing I would just be careful of the wording, just to, again, this is your policy, but just for you to consider, notice that it says school. So when it's determined that one or more students in a class or in a school are infested with head lice, the principal shall then notify parents. And you're suggesting of students just in that class, school-wide letters every time.
No, I don't think it has to be school-wide, but I think where students are hanging their jackets and caps and what have you in a common area in a classroom, then I think parents really should be notified so that they can take appropriate action at home and have appropriate discussions with their kids.
Okay. Any other comments? We good with the recommended language change? Okay, so we'll bring that back to the next meeting. Thank you very much. 9.08, proposed revisions to Board Policy 6020, Parent Involvement.
Thank you. Yes, this is another first reading of Board Policy 6020. You will notice in the top you find the red additions from gamut, and sometimes just clarifying language from parental to also including guardian. You will see that in the second red paragraph there, it does talk about the district's local control and accountability plan, including goals and strategies for parent and guardian involvement. I know that's important to all of you and something that we've looked and strived to continue to improve this year. year. You'll also notice under Title I schools that it looks for involvement from parents and guardians as well for schools supporting Title I funding. And currently that does take place within our annual Title I meetings. You will notice on the back where there is additions there. The board subcommittee did change the wording there from to high needs areas. And then it also clarified in the numbered portion there ways in which the funds can be expended. So again, first reading tonight. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board? Any questions from anyone in the public? Okay. I'm assuming we want to bring this back. So we'll bring this back, Mrs. McGrath, at the next meeting. Thank
Great.
You very much.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Item 9.09, Measure D Notice of Completion for Morro Bay High School Old Gym. So that would be that Mr. Pinkerton. That old gym.
The other old gym, the one that's a little younger than I am.
Well, but not by much.
The board probably remembers the fact that that old gym they actually flooded.
Yeah.
And so the entire floor of the old gym was warped. You know, they were able to kind of use one side and kind of limped along. So that was one of the reasons why that was one of the first projects we hit when we kicked off Measure D with at Morro Bay High School. So I'm happy to say that project is completed. So new roof, windows, paint. New floor. It looks beautiful. Got the pirate logo out, and it's definitely something that is a great addition to the campus. Gets used a lot by them for many different groups and classes. So it's definitely something that's really really nice, and happy that it got accomplished. So this is just a notice of completion tonight, so that we can close the books on this project.
Okay. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address us? Okay, and I would like to add that it is beautiful. The work is phenomenal. The floor is great.
Yeah,
the painting,
nice.
And I think one of the most important things is that it establishes a women's varsity locker room.
Yes,
which is very important. Which really helps us with our Title IX obligations, and it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
So,
I'm informed and believe that it was under budget.
It was. As a matter of fact.
Can't tell you who told me, but...
Yeah. All right.
So I would move approving the notice of completion for the Morro Bay High School Old Gym Modernization Project.
Okay. So we have a motion by Mr. Millar and a second by Mrs. Roger. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. 9.10, Measure D Amendment Number 2 to lease-leaseback contract with Mano Construction for the Bishop Peak new multipurpose room and office renovation. Mr. Pinkerton.
As the board knows, when we move forward with all of our Measure D projects and looking at our developer fees and kind of where we were headed, we did have a couple of schools in our district that didn't get the same kind of assistance and help that the other schools got. And so C.L. Smith, the new office modernization there, paint, kind of fixing it up has been a positive thing for them to kind of bring them up in line with everyone else. And then Bishop's Peak was one of the schools that never got the new NPR. Didn't get the office modernization like all the other schools got. So sorely due on that campus. The blacktop pavement area in particular. This project that this first one that the board has in front of them is what's going to happen is we're going to build the new multipurpose room and a parking lot around that multipurpose room on the side, which if anybody's ever been to that campus knows that any additional parking will be very, you know, thankful for the staff and for the parents and kids. So that will start in the fall. The paving, actually, the next one that we're going to ask the board to approve will start this summer and get accomplished early on for when the kids come back, but because that's not something you can really do while kids are in session. So we'll start the multipurpose room, and then what will happen is when the multipurpose room opens, the current multipurpose room becomes the office. So they'll modernize that space. That will become kind of the front of campus. So we'll be able to kind of do what we did at C.L. Smith, and you'll be able to drive up. The office will be there. We can fence off the rest of the campus, kind of keep it a safe, secure location as it goes through. And that then eventually will then open up the current office space and staff room for classrooms. So it's kind of a a phased-in approach to really renovate and begin the renovation of Bishop's Peak Elementary School. So tonight we're asking you to approve. So it's basically one GMP, but it's two projects. It's the multi-purpose room as well as the office modernization in one. You'll see that on the. And part of the reason why we do that is working with Mr. Mano Construction, we were able to lock in those contractors at the current rate and kind of fix the cost now, even though that office modernization isn't going to even start for about a year. So that was one of the important things for us to try to get accomplished, and that's why you'll see both of those GMPs tonight for approval.
Okay. Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. So the MPR will go first.
Yes.
And once this is approved tonight, then do you have any timeline for a projected start on that?
I believe the paving is going to happen in the summertime, so July, August. So I believe they will start end of August.
So that will be under construction during the school year.
Yes.
And that'll be fenced off and what have you. And then how long is that scheduled to take?
Probably a year.
So then the office renovations wouldn't be happening in the summer. It would all be happening during the school year, probably.
Most likely. I mean, depending on if we knew for sure that the multi-purpose room was going to open up in the fall, then they could potentially start the office modernization in the summer, knowing that they didn't need the MPR, right? The kids are gone, so there's a potential for that. You know, one of the benefits of having a lease-back contract is that we get to work with the contractor, make adjustments. You know, it's really a working together, you know, hand-in-hand on the project. So
it's just such a tight site.
It is.
You know, so it's going to, whatever we do there, we'll there's no way to avoid having
the fortunate thing with this in particular is I would say that the multi-purpose room itself is over to the side, right, to the side of campus. So it's not like, unfortunately for poor C.L. Smith, you know, the office modernization is right in the middle of all of the classroom wing. So in this case, you know, that new construction is going to happen off to the side.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us on this item? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board for a motion.
If I can get back to item 9.10, I move approval of Measure D Amendment 2 to the lease-leaseback contract with Mano Construction for the Bishop's Peak new multipurpose room and office renovation.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. 9.11, and I think you kind of explained that to us.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to add about the paving?
This is basically paving the entire campus. So in that campus, I mean, the entire, you know, playground itself goes all the way around. It's kind of, you know, the whole heart of the campus. So, again, this is definitely something we want to get accomplished while kids are gone during the summertime, you know, both for the asphalt smell, those types of things. So our hope is to kind of get that established. I will say this is one of the first, along with our design build projects, too, where there's some self-performing of work that's going to happen with Mano Construction. So there's a process that an audit and a test process that's going to go along with that. So they have to prove their cost to us. So they have a guaranteed markup that's been established through the RFP, contracted aspect. And so, that's a positive thing in that, you know, in terms of the numbers that the board is seeing, they have to back that up with actual, payroll, paperwork, and those types of things. So that's a process that will be happening with both of these projects. So, but this is the paving itself, and so after they've redone the paving throughout the campus, they'll be restriping it, and so they have been working with the site and the gigantic four square that they want to have, you know, all those different types of cool things that, you know, the bike path, those types of things. So Mr. Stimson has been kind of leading this project and working with Mr. Block and the teachers and students at Bishop's Peak.
Great. Is there anybody from the public that would like to address us? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back.
I'll move approval of amendment number 3 to the lease-leaseback contract with Mano Construction for Bishop's Peak paving.
We have a motion, a motion by Mr. Quesenberry, a second by Mr. Buckman. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. We'll move on to the action consent agenda.
Let me know if you want anything pulled. 10.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 10.02, approval of purchase orders and CalCard purchases. 10.03, approval of warrants and payroll. 10.04, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 10.05, disposal of surplus property. 10.06, approval of field study trip requests. And 10.07, appointment of representatives and alternatives to athletic leagues for 2018-19. Okay, can I have a motion for item 10.01 and then 10.03 to 10.07?
I'll move approval of item 10.01, 10.03 through 10.07.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, a second by Mr. Quisenberry. Anybody from the public? Any board comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0. 10.02, Mr. Buckman.
Thanks, Chris. So when I look at the CalCard and purchase orders, one of the things I always do is I look for the business that we do with local businesses, and this time I tried to focus on the automotive sector. So I'd just like to note that we did business with Gibbs International, America's Tire, Westside Auto, Perry Ford, the local Chevron, O'Reilly's, San Luis Auto, Brown's American Muffler, All Auto Transmissions, and Eric's Muffler and Welding. And just want to thank all the local businesses for working with us.
Great.
For the kids.
Would you like to make a motion, Mr. Brockman?
I'm sorry, yes. I'd like to move approval of 10.02. Thanks, Chris.
Any seconds? Seconded by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 7-0. Is there anybody, are there any requests for advance agenda items at this time? Okay, seeing none. I'll go to item 12.01, reports by board members. Who'd like to begin?
Mr. Quisenberry looks like he's
Mr.
Quisenberry.
I think I'm ready. And I just want to mention that there were other board members at many of these things. So it was a busy 2 weeks. So first I want to mention the teacher induction program, the colloquium that was held at the County Office of Education. It was great. It was great to see these second-year probationary teachers achieve permanent status. I want to thank their mentor teachers, who are fabulous, and I think we're getting a great new group of teachers. I did want to mention that we have a couple of teachers who are former students of our school district, and one is the daughter of Gary and Katie Peters. So two teachers in our district, well, one retired and one currently employed. Marilyn Roger and I got a chance to go to the Monarch Grove ELAC meeting, and that was great. I want to commend Deborah Harris, who's the instructional aide there, Laura Storm, the principal, teachers Kathleen Kirby and Evelyn Frame for being there, and Andre Illig for coming and talking about to the incoming sixth graders, the fifth graders now, what they can expect and how they will be welcomed and gladly welcomed at the middle school. And they also took the opportunity to award certificates and prizes to students who had excelled in the EL program. And they recognized several volunteers, some of whom are just people in the community that are concerned and come in and donate their time to work with the EL students. Got a chance to go to the choir performance at the PAC. I want to commend Holly Banfield for a great performance. It was wonderful to see it. It was also wonderful to see her father, Rob Banfield, accompanying at the choir on the piano. And I was stunned, amazed, and gratified with the performance of Jim Brescia, our county student superintendent. Who knew that he was an operatic? I'm not sure if he's a tenor or a baritone, but he did a wonderful job. And I got to go to also attend the town hall on gun violence. I want to thank our superintendent for his participation in the panel. I want to commend the students for running an excellent town hall meeting. And just a couple things that are going on locally. We in Los Osos, and I think throughout San Luis County, we had a nice Hunger Awareness Day on the 1st of June. And I think, judging by just the Los Osos and Morro Bay contingents, they collected a great deal of money to deal with the food and inadequacy for lots of folks. And that's it. That wraps it up. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Buckman.
Thanks, Chris. I had the honor of representing the all the school boards in the county at the CSBA Delegate Assembly, and we talked about school violence was one of the topics, and they gathered a lot of information. I'm looking forward to the work that they do in the future. The following Monday and Tuesday, I was in Sacramento with the Tri-County Education Coalition. It's always amazing to me how that group is accepted and our voices waited for following the May revise. Because we represent parents, teachers, classified, business officials, superintendents, administrators, school board members, and others, and the legislators seem to look to us for that one voice that they can trust, that it's all groups speaking for the students. I also want to thank Dr. Prater. Dr. Prater spoke to the NAACP last week and spoke about inclusivity and equity in the school district. Just real quickly, it was about 2 hours, and so it was a really good discussion. One of the people that had to leave early said to me, he touched my heart, and there was a spontaneous reaction from one of the members of the NAACP executive board saying, well, we're sure going to be working with you guys. So I really want to thank Eric for taking that on. I have to say, I was downtown, a little embarrassed to get the screen of my cell phone fixed. And while I was waiting for that, I came around the corner, and here were a bunch of students sitting on the sidewalk, and they were singing, and I recognized the teacher. And it was a kindergarten class from Pacheco. There were their parents taking a rest after having visited the library and some shops, and they were getting ready to take public transportation. They had walked downtown from Pacheco, take public transportation back to their school site. I was a little bummed out because it wasn't my grandson's kindergarten class, but it was really great to see them downtown. And I also just want to give a shout out to the Vega family. I sat with them at the Los Osos Middle School band concert, and their daughter, Ruth Vega, was playing the clarinet, and the family was just, I was really honored to be part of the pride that was coming from that family that night. Thank you.
Mr. Millar.
I just want to comment on the Morro Bay Los Osos choir concert and excuse me, just the courage that it took to put the Baywood Choir and Friends up on the stage. I was telling my daughter, who teaches third grade down in San Diego, unbelievable. The kids were hilarious. The performance was fantastic. Jim Brescia, I mean, hiding his light under a bushel all these years, who knew? And it was just a wonderful performance. But the Baywood Choir and Friends really made the night.
Okay. Mr. Roger.
I was at many of the things that have previously been mentioned. However, Mrs. Sheffer and I went to the final DLAC meeting of the year at Laguna Middle School, and it was Mrs. Shields, it was to be her last meeting, and they recognized and acknowledged her there, and it's just wonderful to see the parents representing all of the schools in our district, primarily mothers who, you know, it's hard for them to get out in the evening. They've got kids at home and things that they need to be doing, but they're really concerned and interested about their children's education, and they were there, and it was a great group, and I really felt honored to be there. I felt honored to be with them. So that's what I would add.
Well, I'll finish up.
Me?
Oh. Sorry.
I forgot two very important people at the ELAC meeting at Monarch Grove. Evelyn Frame, who is retiring, mm-hmm. Was there, and also Catherine Kirby was there. So it was great to see all those folks with those parents. The same feeling I have about those ELAC parents and DLAC parents. It's wonderful to see them there, and I really think we owe a note of thanks to Amy for bringing those groups and those parents out to support our schools and feeling included.
Great. Oh, let me say one more thing.
Sure.
I would add that when I was at the DLAC, there was interpretation for English speakers because the meeting was in Spanish. And I really had an opportunity, it was an eye-opener, to see what it's like to be in a room full of people who are speaking a language that you don't speak. And I could pick up a few key words here and there, but not enough, certainly, to follow the conversation that was going on. It was an experience I'm glad I had, and I wish that all English speakers would have that opportunity, because it really creates an awareness that we need to have.
So I just wanted to say that I've been to a lot of that stuff too. I'll start with the TIP colloquium. So I'm not sure what TIP stands for, but what it is, Teacher Induction Program. There we go. So our teachers have to go through a two-year program in order to finalize their credentials. And this was the culmination of that for a number of their teachers. And I was lucky enough to sit at a table with Seamus Perry and Tyler Hoyt, both Los Osos alums, Morro Bay alums. Seamus teaches history, AP history at Morro Bay High School, at San Luis Obispo High School. Seamus actually was a frontman for the Obama administration. He's a pretty amazing guy. And so we have that expertise. And then Tyler Hoyt. Tyler was also a Morro Bay High School graduate. I was his scoutmaster in Los Osos for a while. I swear, yeah, assistant scoutmaster Tyler. And the Hoyt family, longtime Los Osos residents, really involved in the community. They're, like I said, Tyler's teaching history at Laguna. Very, very, very much fun to sit and talk with them. I had a meeting with the auditor. So Ryan mentioned that the auditor was here, and I've never had this meeting before, but the auditor called me in and asked me to just talk to him about what we were doing and just to let me know some things about the district, and they seemed pleased with what we're doing, so that was good news. I went to the choir concert. That was great. I wanted to acknowledge Vicki Worley at Teach. Vicki put on a sixth-grade play, The Phantom Toll Booth. I went to that last Wednesday, and it was really fun. It was a play and a musical, and she just really, really did a lot and put her heart into it, and the kids did too. Everybody was duly impressed. And then Thursday, I did something that I personally thought was really interesting. I accompanied Jeff Lemkuhl to ACI. So ACI is a local company that does a couple of things, but primarily what they do here is they repair and service jet aircraft, private jet aircraft. They also are what's called an FBO, I believe, fixed-based operator. So they're the ones that fuel the planes at San Luis Airport. The reason I went there with Jeff is that we have a student intern there from his auto class, and it was great to talk to the ACI folks about what they're doing and how just the neat stuff that they're doing, and then to see one of our students be involved in that program, and then also knowing that there are other students who are at different businesses throughout San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay working. One thing that I didn't realize, when you go past ACI and you see the jets that are there, I see Mr. Millar is familiar with this. My guess is that they have $250 million worth of airplanes sitting out on the tarmac.
A lot of metal on the ramp.
A lot of really exciting stuff going on there. And then I just wanted to remind everybody, I did do a Del Mar site visit last week, and I wanted to remind everybody that this coming Thursday at 8:50 in the morning, Del Mar is raising the California Distinguished Schools flag, so everybody's invited to go to that. Mr. Millar.
I just wanted a second chance because I attended the gun violence meeting as well, and, you know, I kind of went through an evolution as the old law enforcement person from a different millennium, and it took me a while to realize the impact of social media coverage. I mean, there's always been a copycat element to crimes, but this has been amplified through social media, and that's why I was signaling Jim during advanced agenda. Jim came up with a request that at least he and I talked about some time ago about a board presentation on social media, because I'm a dinosaur, and I'm just starting to understand the impact on school violence and school safety that social media has, to the role that social media plays. So I would, and I will tell you, Jim, I would support you with that when we get a chance to come back to that advanced agenda item.
So maybe at the next meeting, sure, we can bring that up as an advanced agenda item. Okay. That said, the meeting is adjourned.